Guess who's coming to dinner? You're going to catch that by next week. A very familiar passage in Genesis that we learn something about this first couple. Who learned something about the God who created them. Do you find it interesting that man is still wondering whether or not God is real? I think that's sort of normal. I'm not that bothered by the world. What bothers me is when you come into the church and the redeemed of the Lord are wondering, is God really real? Peter, the Apostle Peter, talks about the fact that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, long-suffering, and people were arguing even in his day, where is he? Who did you say is coming? You were brought up in church, chances are, and you heard your parents tell you, Jesus is coming, he's coming, he's coming soon. 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, now 90 years later, you're saying, where is he? He is coming. Things happen in eternity past. God sent his son in the fullness of time in eternity past. And it was a process for us to find out exactly when things would take place. Picture this. He places this couple in the garden, gives them the privilege naming all of the animals. They have the joy of one-stop shopping. You know, we have to get in our cars and go to Kmart, get on the metro and go to needless markups and they had everything they needed. But in eternity past, our wise Creator knew with all of that, they were going to blow it. And they were going to reach a level where they would begin to second guess God and wonder, is he really there? Can I share with you how sly that devil is? My mother used to say, he'll lie before God get the news. Now we know that's impossible, but you think about it. He's just that crafty. And his whole premise, his whole mission is to keep people from believing in the true and the living God. When God says he's going to do a thing, guess what? He's going to do it. How many of you heard the cliche, God said it, I believe it. And that settles it, right? Can I share with you the truth? If God said it, it's settled. It has nothing to do with whether you believe it or not. Hello, somebody. If God says a thing is going to happen, it's going to happen. You can go to the bank on that. It's going to happen. God tells this couple, listen, here in the garden, eat. Make yourselves at home. However, there is one in the midst. Don't touch it. Don't, because the day you eat it, you're going to surely die. Here comes Pookie, who says, did God really mean that? I see packed behind, don't do this because this will happen, an issue of I'm coming. I see an issue of accountability. You know, how many times do we say, the more I have, the happier I'll be? But it's a trap. Because the more you have, the more accountable you are. There are no free rides in life, no free tickets. Everything costs. You get by for a few minutes, but you don't get away because someone is coming. You get the pre-approved application in the mail, and they say, just sign, and the money is yours. You pull out your ink pen, and you sign it, and you say, free money. But how many of you know, after a few weeks, he's coming? You can spend all you want, but he's coming. There is always, for every privilege, there is an accountability issue that follows. Jesus was coming in eternity past, and he had to go through a process. And part of that process was in the Garden of Eden. So, that's one of those buzzwords, so. Every sentence starts off with so. So, Adam and Eve are in the garden. They eat from this tree because somehow the serpent convinced them that eat and be happy. You go through life once. Be your own person. So what they did in essence was became their own gods. They literally slapped God in the face and said, God, we don't need your guidance. We don't need your directions. Somebody told us we can do what we want to do. I think there was a song I saw in the hymn, no, it's your thing, do what you want to do. Celebration hymn, no, find it. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Second verse said, I can't tell you who to sock it to because it's your thing. How quickly we are deceived into thinking that because I'm getting by, I'm going to get away. For every action, someone said, there is a reaction. There was a reason why Jesus needed to come into the world. There was a great reason. Because he knew that man was going to blow it. I mean, on our best days, we blow it. Paul said, the stuff that I shouldn't do, I do it. I don't even like it, but I do it. I don't want to use those words I used to use, but every now and then, somebody make me say that. Now, I know that you've been redeemed and you don't say those words anymore. Paul asks, who shall deliver me? There's not but one person who offers deliverance, and that's the one who is coming. Adam and Eve blew it, and they figured, well, since we blew it, what we'll do is go into hiding. I shared with the group earlier that was the first game of hide and seek. Adam, where are you? But chances are, nope. Is there Adam here tonight? Well, help me. What is your name? Hello? I'm really asking you a question, giving you an opportunity to talk back to me. Let's try that again. What's your name? God calls you by name. He doesn't go through a legal secretary. He doesn't go through a church clerk. He doesn't go through a deacon. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many teeth are in your mouth. And he calls you by name. And when we're guilty, you know what we do? Shh. Don't say anything. Maybe he won't recognize. And so we get up with a clown outfit on. Leaves, flowers, and daisies. What you think, God? How you like me now? What in the world is that? What are you doing? Well, where are you? Well, God, you really know, since you know everything, you know I was hiding from you. And the reason I was hiding was because I was ashamed. Ashamed? Yeah, I was ashamed because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Okay, God, enough of these questions. That woman you gave me? God, you know my heart, right? The animals and I were doing just fine. But when you put me to sleep and I woke up and said, whoa, my life hasn't been the same. What you don't read in Scripture is the accountability piece that I am coming. And in a few minutes, you hear someone talk about Isaiah, that messianic prophet who looked through his spiritual telescope and saw that the Messiah was coming. Can I share with you? No? Do you really want to know? Everything you and I do and say, we're going to have to give an account. You may get past pastor, the elders, few people who will buddy and chum with you. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a voice reverberating in your spirit asking you, where are you? Didn't you know that when I gave you an assignment, I was going to come? and require that you make an account of your stewardship? We sing a song, "When He Calls Me, I Will Answer." I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Adam and Eve did not rely upon what we have, and that was the Word of God. And let me close by sharing with you that that same Jesus one day is coming back. He has already come. He's already here. But he's coming back, and he's not going to buy, "Well, the people made me mad, and therefore, God, I became dysfunctional." You and I are going to have to give an account for everything that we have done. The good news in the text of the coming of Jesus is that we needed someone who could eventually restore us and hook us back up, not to the tree of knowledge, but to the tree of life. Jesus is that tree. If you need a way out of no way, Jesus is that way. If you need peace, you don't need to wait for Christmas to say peace on earth. You can have peace in January. You can have peace in the midst of your tribulations. I mean, the world has gone crazy because they don't think that Jesus is real. Is he showing up in you? Someone said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one." So preach the gospel. Preach it often. But when necessary, use words, because he is real.